Galatians 5:22 through 23. And I'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless this, your word today. I know it is. It's anointed. Lord, it's God-breathed. And so, Lord, help us to understand. Help us to open up our hearts. Lord, let us clear our minds of all the things that may distract us this morning from hearing it. Lord, help it. Help your word, Lord, resonate in our ears. Lord, I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we find familiar words that go along with this. It says, love is patient, love is kind, and it's not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. I've used that scripture many times at weddings. Love never fails. Love is probably the most misunderstood word, though we probably use. It's part of the problem is that we use it, this one word, to describe many things. I say I love my car, or I love my shoes, or I love my house, or I love the paint that we painted the walls, or the floor in the fellow, you know, in the foyer. I love those things, right? And then we love our wives, we love our husbands, you know, some of us. No, I'm joking. But we say those words even to our loved ones. We call them loved ones. We say those words sometimes. You know, we use that word love so many different ways that it's literally lost its true meaning, I think, at times. We love a lot of things, but do we really? Do we really love ice cream and cherry pie? I love my Lord. That's good, brother. Most people think love is a feeling. And it does present feelings. Love does. But true love produces feelings. But is it more than just an emotion? Or a second-hand emotion, as a song was saying one time by Tina Turner. How often we let our feelings motivate us to do all kinds of things that we might not normally do. Like buy something that we think we love. You think about that? Man, I want that so bad. I just love it. I gotta have it. You ever heard that? You ever been that person? I love it so much. I gotta buy it, you know? And do we really love it? Because most of the time it's like a little kid. You get something on Christmas and it's what they always wanted. It's what I always wanted. And they get it for Christmas, they tear open the box and they play with it for a couple hours. The next thing you know, they're kicking the box around, the toys on the ground. Did they really love it that much? It's almost like saying that when we're in love, everything is out of control. Have you ever heard someone say that they fell in love? I fell in love. I mean, that sounds like an uncontrolled mistake. You know, like you just didn't mean it to happen, but it happened. Sometimes we feel that way. Hank Williams even sang a song, I Can't Help It, If I Fell in Love with You. You remember that song? We talk if love is uncontrollable, but the Bible says, love is controllable. In fact, Jesus commands that we love others. And he said this in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He's commanding us to love somebody. It would seem that love is a matter of choice. We choose to love people. You choose to love one person over another. Beyond all things, Corinthians 3:14, it says, beyond all things put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I noticed those two little words there where it says put on. Put on love. Love is something we can choose to have. If it was just a feeling, we could not command it. If it was just a feeling. But we can command a choice, and love is a choice. It's controllable. It is much more than just a feeling. We stay away from people we don't want to love. You hear me? There's people out there that we really choose not to have a relationship with because we don't want to get too close to them. Or maybe that's not the kind of person I want to be around, so I don't want to get involved in their life. In fact, did you know that it's possible to love someone you don't even like? Jesus said it this way, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" Matthew 5:44-46. You know, it's easy to love people who are kind and lovingly, and it's much more difficult to love those who are not. But the fact is, our lives are full of people that we don't like. It's true. I'm just being honest. You know, we don't like the way some people talk. We don't like the way some people dress. We don't like the way some people have pink hair or purple hair or whatever day of the week it is. We don't like people like that. We don't like the way others dress, but we most of all, we tend to not like people who do not like us. Most of all. If you don't like me, then fine. I'll find somebody else who does. I read a story one time about Lady Astor. Anybody know who Lady Astor was? Now, I guess in World War II, okay, Lady Astor was on the British Parliament, okay? And she told Winston, she didn't like Winston Churchill. And she told Winston Churchill one time, she said, "If you were my husband, I'd poison your tea." That's a pretty bold statement. And Winston Churchill, being who he was, said, "Well, ma'am, if you were my wife, I'd just drink it." I like that. We could think about that for just a few seconds, but you could probably come up with a list of people that you don't like, that maybe you've even thought that. Man, I'm telling you. Probably people that you just have trouble with or you can't get along with. But the truth is everyone is hard to love sometimes. Everyone. I'm hard to love sometimes. I really am. You just ask Leanne, she'll tell you. I'm hard to love sometimes. I try to be a loving person. I really do. It's a choice that I have to make, right? Jesus never demanded that we have warm, fuzzy feelings for everyone, though. There are just some people out there that just... it's just hard for that to exist, isn't it, in that relationship. But He did tell us that we are to love people and love Him. Love God and love people. That's what He said. The greatest commands is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. Love God, love people. That's a choice. We have free will. We choose to love God, right? That's a choice that we make. We choose to come to church. We choose to love God. We choose to read our Bibles. We choose those things that we do for God. And we can choose to love people too. We don't have to like everyone, but we really do have to love everyone. That's not always easy. So how do we do that? I think there's a few ways we can do that. First of all, it comes with the experiencing God's love. Because without that, it's going to be almost impossible. nearly impossible, to, I will say, impossible for you to love everyone without God's love in your life. Before we can love others, we must understand really how deeply God loves us. Man, do you comprehend the love of God that He has for you and for me? In Romans chapter 5, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone will dare to even die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God loves us while we're still sinners, while we're still opposed to Him, and while we're still in our rebellious state. And God loves us even though we did not love Him. God still loves you even when your family and your friends have turned their back on you. God loves you still whenever you're doing things that you know you shouldn't do, and maybe you don't know you shouldn't do, but when you're in complete rebellion to Him, and when our friends are done with you, when everybody else is finished with you, nobody cares about you, God still loves you. In 1 John 4:19, we find that we now love God because, why? He first loved us, right? We love because He first loved us. He was willing to die for us. And He said, now demonstrate the same thing to your neighbor. And what a love it is. What a love it is. It's a sacrificial love. It's not easy to love people. It wasn't easy for God to love us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's a familiar scripture, isn't it? Why is it important to feel loved by God? Because unloved people are often unloving people. When I do not feel genuinely loved by somebody, I do not feel like giving love to that same somebody. So many times that happens in relationships too. In marriages. One person just really doesn't display the love that the other one does, and the other one gets tired of it and gives up. I'm being honest this morning. It happens. Unfortunately, it does. Same thing happens in our relationship, not only with each other as friends and... come on. It also can happen with our relationship with God. God demonstrates such a great love for us that... wow. John 15:12 says, "This is My commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." His love for us is the model by which we are to love each other. Forgive your enemies. Forgive your enemies. The second step, I think, is we got to forgive those who have hurt us. In Colossians 3:12 and 13, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Man, that's a big list. Here's another one. "Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." I talked last night about how many churches have been split and hurt over silly things and words that were spoken, things that were done, and they were unwilling to forgive. And that unwillingness to forgive each other caused the church to divide. And it happens so much. And not only in the church, and I said last night, it's why the world has such an indifference in the church. That's what it is because they see the church and they see the same things as they see in the world. So what's the difference? The forgiveness that we are to show to others is the forgiveness that Christ showed to us. And most people, if not all, have been hurt at one time by another in their lives. Somebody said something, somebody's done something, and some of those things are terrible things. Terrible things people have had happen to them. Those are hard moments to forgive, isn't it? But we have to let go of the past. We have to let go of things that happened. Words spoken can never be taken back, but we can let those things go. And Jesus will bury them. We don't have to live in the past. And I'll say, forgive those who have hurt you, and for your own sake, not because they deserve it, do it so your heart can be whole again. Because unforgiveness puts a pretty big hole in your heart. People from your past cannot continue to hurt you today unless you allow them to hurt you today. You don't allow them. You don't hold that resentment against them any longer. Anytime you resent somebody, you give that person a piece of your heart. A piece of your attention. A piece of your mind. But we like to do that. Do you want that person to have that? Do you want to have somebody else control your emotions and who you are? Because that's what happens when you don't forgive. So forgive those who hurt you instead of rehearsing that hurt over and over and over again in your life, in your hearts, and in your mind. I think another thing we have to do is think loving thoughts. Think loving thoughts. We do that. We got to practice that. It's like the inner peace thing, you know. I have to think that, especially when you're, you know, like I use it as an example because it's a perfect example. When you're at the four-way stop. I mean, that place right there. I mean, you know, that place right there is a place where you can lose your loving mind very quick. You know, I've seen some crazy things happen at the four-way stop. And you're like, I love you. Get on out of the way now, you know. Think loving thoughts. You know, take deep breaths. Philippians 2, 3, 4. I get through this or I'll be here all day. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility and mind of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, what does that mean to think loving thoughts? It means we begin to focus on other people's needs and hurts and problems and desires and goals, not just of our own. And as the old saying goes, it's easier to understand someone else when you're walking in their shoes, isn't it? When you walk a mile in their shoes, you start to understand what they're going through. Hurt people hurt people. Notice that? Somebody's angry and with the world. They're angry with everybody. And they take that anger and that hurt that they have out on other people. And most of the time, if you really get to know somebody, you'll find out why they're like they are. We need to look beyond people's faults and see their needs. There's a great old song. I look beyond, or he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. One of the songs that we've cherished because it has a true, absolutely true, true meaning to it, doesn't it? You know, I've discovered that the most obnoxious people and the least lovable people are those who need love the most. the people we would rather not be around, the people that we would rather ignore or, you know, hide from when we're in Walmart. I'm not joking. People hide from you in Walmart. I want to remind you guys of that too. I go to Walmart, see people, oh, there's Pastor Randy. You know, we'll go down this aisle. Hurry up. He's going to talk to me. No, I know you guys never do that, ever. You know, if a person can't get love, they will strive to get attention. And that's, we see a world full of that. You want to know why people do the things that they do? Because they want attention from somebody. They need love by somebody. They've been hurt by somebody. Their life's been just ripped apart. And all they're looking for is somebody to love them. Somebody to give them some attention. Everyone needs love. If a person can't get love, they'll strive to get it. They'll do whatever it takes. They'll color their hair in whatever color they can think of. I might try that sometime. I don't know. I mean, I'm just using that as a statement. Not everybody that colors their hair a different color means that they're just trying to get attention. But subconsciously, they're saying, I want to be noticed. One way or another, whatever it takes. I think one important thing that we got to do is behave in a loving way. That's what Jesus did. He was straightforward. He told people the truth. But he behaved in a very loving way all the time, right? The fourth step, I think, here is learning to love others and act in a loving way. And some may say that you're telling me to act lovingly towards somebody I don't even like. Yep. But what if you can't do that? What if you say, I can't do that? Well, then you'd be a hypocrite if you can't do that. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what it means to be faithful to Christ. And Jesus said it like this in Luke 6, 27 and 29, but I say to you, who hear? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Notice that this passage, we're commanding to do four things here. First, Jesus commands us to love our enemies. So how do we love someone who's against us in every way? We must overlook their faults, like I said. The Bible says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins, in 1 Peter 4:8. Second, Jesus commands us to do good. Yes, we're supposed to be a bunch of do-gooders. How do we do good to people that don't even like us? We look for ways to give to them. What we can do is to serve them, as what Jesus said. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. We can go the second mile. We can offer practical help. We can do them a favor. We can discover their needs and respond to them. We all know this stuff, don't we, this morning? Jesus commands us to bless those who curse us. Man, that's a hard one, isn't it? There again, the four-way stop. Somebody's yelling at you, cussing you. That's hard to deal with, isn't it? What does it mean by that? What does he mean by that? He's referring to the way that we talk about and talk to those who treat us badly. Man, we got people that talk bad about people. Gossip. And you know what? Gossip's a big sin. Paul talked about that. A blessing is a positive word spoken to or about others. And we don't put them down. We lift them up. We encourage them. I talked about last night a little bit about how our tongue can, we can breathe out praises and we can breathe out evil things out of the same mouth. And we can say words that will encourage somebody or we can say words that will tear them apart. And let me tell you, our words can destroy a person's life. Jesus commands us to pray for those who mistreat us. Praying for people will not only change them, but also will change you. It changes us when we start praying for people. So how should we pray? We pray that God will bless people who are mistreating us. Man, that's hard to do, isn't it? Pray for your enemies. How do you pray for somebody that hates your guts? But even if they don't change right away, praying for them will change their attitude and their life. Let me tell you, when you pray for your enemies, what's it do? It heaps up coals on them, doesn't it? Man, I believe that the Holy Spirit starts working in their life. And let me tell you, that can be miserable when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you and convicting you, can't it? We all know that feeling. Many of us know that feeling. What all this means is that love is an action. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 earlier when I read that, it says love is patient. Love is kind and much, much more. Where's your patience at today with people? Sometimes our patience is a little short, isn't it? I've said this many times. Sometimes we need patience. We pray for it. God, give me patience, or you're going to have to provide bail money. Because I'm going to hurt somebody. Sometimes in those situations, we need that, don't we? Did you know that there are 15 action words listed in that verse alone? I'm studying that. And when we act lovingly, when we are patient or gentle or kind, we are displaying the fruit mentioned. It actually... The actual fruit, all other fruits are simply expressions of love. Love's the most important one. All of them come back to love. Love is kind. Love is joyful. Love is the basis of all positive actions. That's the way God would want us to be. That's what Jesus came to show us how to be. We got to expect the best out of people. The last step in learning to love others may be some ways be the most difficult, I think. Expect the best out of even those you don't like. And that's why I pray for our president every day. I'm telling you. Some of you are laughing. You know what I'm saying. I do. But we should pray for our leaders. Even if they're messed up and we got to pray for them. That's why I need you to pray for me. Even if you don't like me, you got to pray for me. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says love never fails, right? Love never fails. Love has a power that we cannot even imagine. It never, ever fails. And we should expect the best out of that. As Christians, I believe we should always be a people of hope, a people of faith. And the reason for that is because we serve a God who is always faithful. Amen. God is always faithful. The Bible says there in Romans 8, 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He loves you that much. There's nothing that cannot make Him love you. How's that? If God is love, if His love is that powerful, is that consistent in our lives though? Should we display His love to others around us? We should, shouldn't we?
Yes.
So the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace. Or should I say it like this? Fruit of the Spirit is love, and love is joy, and love is peace, and love is patience, love is kindness, love is goodness, love is faithfulness, love is gentleness, love is self-control. And against such things, there is no law, because love never fails. So I charge you, challenge you this morning to be more loving. Pray for your enemies, because that's what God would want us to do. Amen.